Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking with artist John Slaney on location at the Coffee and Thompson Art Gallery here in the Gold District in Charlotte, North Carolina. He makes these really great multimedia collages with a twist. He uses these pieces to express his unique perspective on the modern world, some with satire and some with comedy. All fantastic. Enjoy. Are you from Charlotte?
No, I'm from Connecticut.
Connecticut?
Yes.
What brought you here?
Cost of living, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, we were at a good time in our family
mm-hmm.
for moving. The kids were the right age. It
mm-hmm.
wouldn't be too traumatic. And we decided we've lived in Connecticut the whole time, and it's just getting more and more expensive. So
Right. Let's
try something different.
Yeah.
And we did.
Yeah.
But it was a very difficult move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How so?
The ride down here, like,
you
We drove. We drove. My wife took our three boys in our car, obviously. And then I drove a U-Haul truck towing our other car.
Uh-huh.
And it was like 23 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Because we got the trailer blew out, and we got stranded on the side of the road, and it was crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
But, and we got here, and it was not, we moved in kind of blind.
Yeah.
Like, we put a deposit down on a place we'd never been to before.
Oh,
we
wow.
saw it for the first time once we got
oh,
there.
Oh, my gosh. People actually do that. I was talking about doing that, but I
know
people did that.
People do. I felt a little better after I found out that people did that. But it was so new
yeah.
to me and us that it felt like madness.
Right.
And everyone in our family was just taken aback by, like, what are you doing? Why are you moving away? After, I don't know, 2.5 years or something, it's
mm-hmm.
been, it was the right move.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
I like it down here. It's good for everyone. But
Right. It
was, you know, it was difficult, the
yeah.
adjustment. It's
oh, I'm sure.
still kind of adjusting, which is where a lot of the art came from,
mm-hmm.
the processing.
So you weren't doing art in Connecticut?
I was, yeah. But everything changed completely when I got here.
Like, oh, so.
In Connecticut, I was doing a lot of portraiture and, like, wildlife paintings, doing people's dogs and pop art portraits, and kind of more standard, straightforward, non-abstract stuff.
Right.
I would say.
Representational type stuff.
Representational, right. But then when I moved here, it was just the stress of the move, and I struggled with anxiety and, like, depression anyways,
mm-hmm.
and I always have.
Yeah.
So art's kind of a way of processing that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing, like, representational art, I don't know, I lost my taste for it. And I wanted something a bit freer, I guess. You
mm-hmm.
know, something that developed over time the way my mind worked anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could hop from one piece to another and they would change with the whims or whatever my mind was at the time.
Right.
Whereas, you know, representational portraiture or whatever, you know, everyone's doing
right. Yeah.
And
yeah, that's true.
Once you know point A, B, and C, you know the whole thing where you have to get to, and it doesn't really change as you do it. And,
right.
It's just so straightforward that I shied away from it. Who knows? Maybe I'll come
mm-hmm.
back to it again, but I don't know.
So that's really interesting, I think, that you say that everyone's doing it. But actually, when you say it, it makes sense. Everyone is doing it.
I'm not disparaging anyone,
right?
Obviously, but I guess what I mean is there are people doing it just as good, if not better, than I was. So,
right.
I mean, I wanted to find something that felt more natural, but
yeah,
that stuff. I don't know. I got kind of old. You know, lost interest. Let's say.
Right. Right. It happens.
Yeah, it does. It does.
So you were doing, like, portraits and things like that?
Yeah, I do, like, portraits of... I would sell, like, through Etsy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you do kind of pop-style portraits of musicians and things like that, people like to buy those, you know? And you get commissions to do family portraits in the same style. People like the sort of dynamic, you know, three-color style or something like that. And then, you know, portraits of people's pets or their families, which is just, you know... straight work without any real freedom, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, when we moved here, I started getting interested in other things,
mm-hmm.
you know, studying other things or reading about other things that sort of informed the way I worked or
mm-hmm.
stuff I gravitated towards. And I've always liked comic books and cartoons and stuff like that.
Right.
So all that comes out.
Yeah. 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 I was noticing, I was really liking your pieces because they do have like kind of a comic book feel.
Oh yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Definitely.
You can tell that that's an influence.
It's like, yeah. Instead of you start as a kid with comic books and drawing cartoons and stuff. And you, as an artist, you're expected to kind of develop from there and,
mm-hmm.
you know, continue learning and getting better and better. And I, you know, I did that. I moved away from comic books and cartoons and illustration style stuff. But it's still the most fun
right.
for me. It's
right.
like, why should I deprive myself of
yeah.
that sort of freedom?
Oh, yeah, totally.
So,
totally.
And, you know, I work, I mean, I have a day job, obviously. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's how I pay
yeah.
the bills. My wife has a full-time job. I got 3 kids.
Right.
So it's not like I have a lot of free time to sit down and, you know, work over some laborious portrait.
Right, right.
I'd rather work the way I do, which is kind of erratic and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, random
mm-hmm.
sometimes.
Yeah.
But after a while, it all kind of comes together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's out there now.
Right,
yeah.
right. Well, I just think I keep going back to this. I think it's so interesting that you were just like, everyone's doing that. But it's just kind of like, you're like, everyone, it's kind of like they know what's expected of them to draw this painting.
Yeah, if you're like,
there's a formula and there's something, you know what you're doing. And like, whereas with the abstract, it's kind of like you're figuring it out.
Yeah, with abstract expressionism and things like that, it's more about the energy behind the painting. You know,
right.
And the way you feel when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about it is at this point in my life, I don't really care all that much what people think of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just stopped expending energy doing that.
Right.
So with abstract paintings and things like mine, which are small usually because I work out of a small space and I've always liked to work small, and I
mm-hmm.
think that's interesting. Because,
yeah, yeah.
You know, usually a successful artist, the bigger, the better.
Bigger, the better, yeah.
But when it's small, it's kind of grabs your attention in a different sort of way. And
I think that's almost harder.
It can be, yeah. It's hard to create, like, a piece that's cohesive and interesting to look at that's so small.
Right.
Because you're starting 10 steps behind where people expect you to be. But that sort of compartmentalized comic panel idea, you know,
uh-huh.
everything's boxed in.
Right.
Like, I don't know, lately I think a lot in squares and cubes and things like that.
Yeah.
So that all comes out. And when I do something like that and it grows from an organic place, I guess, I like to see people's reactions, like what they think of it, which ones they're interested in, what they see in them, because for me it could be different than it is for them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's exciting for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, rather than just showing them a portrait of a face or an animal or a landscape, you know.
Right.
All great. And there's some really fantastic artists on the wall
mm-hmm.
right now,
yeah.
here and elsewhere. And I follow a bunch of artists who are doing extraordinary things.
Right, right.
Extraordinary things.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you go to art school and you go that route where, like, okay, I'm going to become a professional working artist,
mm-hmm.
it's high school and then art school and then. You've got to have your chops in line, you know, and you've got to be painting something that's dynamic and interesting and is at home on the wall of a fancy gallery, which isn't necessarily where I'm at
mm-hmm.
at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would describe my stuff more as like, you know, pure self-expression, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Just something that I find the most natural feeling, art. For me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool. So you describe yourself as a multimedia expressionist, not an artist.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, I know.
Why not an artist?
It has to do with my, well, that's sort of tongue in cheek, I guess. Since I was little, like when I was 9, my grandmother, 8 or 9, my grandmother showed me this book. It was my uncle's it was a composition book, you know, and he drew cartoons throughout it. And it was awesome. Like, I loved that thing. And it was, that moment inspired me to draw. So I started drawing. And my whole life, people were always telling me how great I was.
Right.
Like, John, you're so talented.
Yeah.
It just filling me full of this positive.
Right, right.
And unfortunately, when you get out into the art world,
they're not saying that.
It doesn't matter what all your family and friends said.
Right.
And it's, you see people who are extraordinary and are exceptionally talented and have the discipline and you know, education background that I just don't have. And because I don't have that, it was kind of funny and easy for me to say, no, I don't want to be, I don't necessarily feel like a traditional artist, you know, mostly because I don't get much joy at this point out of carefully painting a traditional oil portrait or something like that, or, you know, something that could be defined as a great painting, let's say. I just don't have the patience for that anymore. And the way I work, I guess I was just trying to I wasn't comfortable being described as an artist, just a creative expressionist felt more natural. That's all.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. So, so you started when you, okay, so when did you actually start doing art and representational art?
When I was young, elementary school. Like,
yeah.
They had a gifted art program and I tested and got in there and that was it. I mean, from there I was going to be an artist.
You were the artist.
Yeah, that's it.
And the artist, the art kid.
That's right. And I, you know, everything from most artistic and all that crap. And I got to high school and I had a really great high school art teacher who helped me build a good portfolio that got me a scholarship to the Columbus Institute of Art and Design, which I went to for a little while, did not like, and left, met my wife, got married, totally different route. And but I've always been compelled to create things. So I guess I'm also, I mean, if we're going to be completely honest, right, I'm not the most confident person in the world.
Right.
I've always struggled with, like,
yeah,
you know, I'm my own worst critic and all that stuff. So when I say I'm not an artist, it could be a way to just shield myself,
right,
you know, from a certain criticism, or shield myself from expectations that I feel I can't meet at this moment.
Right, right.
But I am a consummate creative. Like, that's all I do.
You create.
It's either writing, music, art. Those are those three things that I'm always doing. And because of that, I can't call myself anything different than a creative expressionist. So I've always done that. I've always created. I've always written or painted or drawn or all that stuff.
And I think that's really cool, because you can see in your paintings, you can see all of that, basically.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I enjoy working with words, you know. I like collage art because you can incorporate words and expressions and imply things that would otherwise not be there, or maybe steer someone in a certain direction with a single word or phrase just placed in the right spot. Plus, there's an aesthetic to it, like arrangement, you know, balance, and, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to do.
Yeah, yeah, it's real fun. You say sincerity is paramount. Without it, expression is worthless. What does that mean?
That is a grand statement, is it not?
It is a grand statement.
because if you're trying too hard, if you have to be able to, like, open yourself up. If you're going to be an expressionist, you know, you just have to be honest with. It's like playing music, you know. You can't fake it or try to be something you're not. It's always kind of a simple Mm-hmm. It was a poetic way of saying that, just be true to yourself. And if you are,
mm-hmm.
as cliche as that sounds now, right? people will be able to tell when they see your artwork that it's not full of pretense and dishonesty. That's all.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's really neat.
Well, that's part of what art should do if you're compelled to create.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what it should do is help you find who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you never really do or you never feel you do, you should be searching consistently. And
Absolutely.
Art can help you find who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it sometimes can help you deal with who you are if you don't necessarily like what you find.
Right.
At least all of what you find.
Right, right.
Okay.
It's true. I never thought about that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I think that's...
Well, you know, like I said, I struggle with certain things. So many people do.
Everyone does.
I don't know what the heck is going on.
You and me both.
It's like a fog that hangs over society.
Yeah.
And because I've always struggled with what goes on up here,
mm-hmm.
and because I'm also... people say I'm not an introvert,
mm-hmm.
right? But I certainly feel like one.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I'm so introverted, I live inside my own head.
Yeah, yeah.
Way too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
Oh, I do that too.
Yeah. And inside your own head is not reality. You know?
Right.
It's insane up there sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, what you feel up there, it informs how you act and how you feel things are around you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they may not be that way at all.
Right, right.
And art can help you process that, or at least dump it out
mm-hmm.
onto something.
Yeah.
Instead of holding on to it the whole time.
Absolutely.
So that's what I use it for. And that's why this show I was proud of. Not necessarily because I thought it was like the greatest work I've ever done, but it certainly felt like the most sincere work I've
mm-hmm.
ever done. It's kind of scattered and brightly colored and in some cases very, very minimalist and simple. But it's also full of texture and strange ideas, and it evokes mostly questions
mm-hmm.
from people, you know. And that, I felt, made it successful.
Oh, yeah.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, there's some funny stuff, too.
Absolutely.
Humor is a huge part of dealing with anxiety and depression and the stuff that's always swirling around us. As long as it's, you know, if you can still laugh, that's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So tell me about, you say that art helps you deal with the person that helps you become the person that you want to be, basically.
Well, yeah, because if you show your art to people,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're kind of, you're taking that step and forcing yourself to reveal something personal.
Forcing
and,
critique.
Right, critique or anything. It doesn't, you know, any reaction is good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great thing about abstract art, especially stuff that may seem simple on the surface, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like that some people find it silly. Or they devalue it as my child could do it, or something like that.
Right,
right,
right.
I'm not saying I've ever been told that, but that is something you hear about abstract art from certain people.
Yeah, and that, I think
that's
those
fun.
Are the people that I'm trying to kind of I really hate it when they say that.
Yeah, it is. It's just if you don't understand it, it's easy to dismiss it.
Right, exactly.
So I like that though. I like
mm-hmm.
when people dismiss things or
mm-hmm.
get annoyed or upset
mm-hmm.
or uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I like all that stuff.
Awesome.
Because that's what art should do.
Exactly.
You know? I don't care about the response, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, I'm not... If I were putting portraits on the wall
mm-hmm.
that I labored over for, you know, a year or something,
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, everyone would know who they are. It's like, these are nice. Look at this portrait. This
mm-hmm.
is cool. Yeah. And that's it. That's the end of how I feel about it. Like,
right.
yes, I like the way this portrait came out.
This turned out well.
That's fine. And then it's like I get nothing else out of that unless they bought something that would be monetary.
Right, right.
But now, when I finish that work that I did, and I hang it up, I'm like, it feels good because I'm showing myself
to
a bunch of people, and that forces me to acknowledge who I am and how I've expressed myself, and that's a good thing for me.
But that's scary as well.
Yeah, sure it is. It can be. It also, I mean, it depends on, I guess, how you feel about the pieces, like how personal they are. And mine are still full of humor and oddity and things like that, they don't, I'm not going to offend anyone, really.
Right.
You know what I mean? At least most of them won't. And I wasn't feeling especially offensive, let's say. Like, there's not much anger in any of that stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, I went through a phase, maybe, where I was feeling black or angry or something.
Mm-hmm.
Dark, that is, but it wasn't much happening in this particular set of stuff. Not much anger. There was a lot of confusion and anxiety any number of things, but no anger, really.
Yeah. So when you create things that like come from your anxiety or your insecurity or whatever else, and you see it as a beautiful picture, or you see how it turns out, does that kind of validate it a little bit?
I could say I don't really know. I suppose a little bit. If I'm speaking frankly, if someone were to like, yes, the short answer is yes. Especially if someone likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone is struck by something, like I have a few people who really enjoyed, you know, the show and certain pieces in particular, and that is a validation. Sure. Like when people have genuine questions and interests and love a piece in particular. And yeah, it does validate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do enjoy that. Yeah, but I mean, again, sometimes your insecurity can creep in and be like, oh, you're just being nice or something.
I know. I think your stuff is great, so I think...
Thank you.
I don't think anyone would just say that it's great just to be nice.
Why
would you?
Just don't say anything.
Exactly.
I don't mind. But.
Well, I was curious because I picked out a few that I was... what is a man...
Admires his neighbor's
landscape. What's that? That's really cool.
I recently moved into a new house in the same town, Indian Trail, but down the road, I was painting in, like, my garage at night. I was still doing a lot of oils, and I'd walk my dog every evening, and there's this one guy who took incredible care of his lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know, that kind of inspired a weird black humor. Like, I don't really care too much about my lawn.
Right.
You know? I'll do what I have to keep the HOA from yelling. But this guy, you know, it was just immaculate. Like, he poured all his sense of pride into the grass. And as I was painting this piece of work, it's an abstraction. So to me, it started to seem like, you know, a man just sort of, not necessarily jealously, but you know, looking at these wonderful decorations and perfect grass and the flowers and hedges and stuff. And that's just what that one felt like to me. And that's where I was when I finished it.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes when I'm doing something like that where it has several steps, several layers, or maybe it starts as one thing and then I dislike it and change it, you know, because that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Then the way I determine a piece is finished is just it. I don't see the end when I'm doing it, but when it happens, that's it.
Yeah.
And it just perfectly illustrated that time period for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting that you don't plan the end. I think that's really cool.
No, never do. Not with this particular set of things. I rarely plan the beginning.
It's even better.
Yeah.
What about Collapse of Nations?
Oh, yeah. I don't even really like that one. So that one started off as a simple field of like three or four carefully placed blocks of color. And I liked the arrangement of it. And I sat on that for a while, maybe like a month or two, just looking at this arrangement. And to me, it looked like a flag and also a field, like a football field almost. But then politics sometimes, permeates, your consciousness, I guess.
Right.
And what was going on in the world and politics is sort of bespoke chaos. And that's kind of what happened to that painting. And it just became this kind of chaotic arrangement of individual parts, all trying to fit together, but they don't quite make it, which to me felt like the world at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And how we're always, if you want to look at it from a bleak perspective, I guess, we can always be on the brink of collapse in one way or another.
Yeah.
And that's all that one is about.
So that's cool. And then I liked Nerd.
Yeah, sure. That was, I like that one too. That's the same, it was done in tandem with the Man Admires His Neighbor's Landscaping. So they have similar properties and methods. And with that, I was using little sliced pieces of a couple comic books, to create this sort of row of teeth on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the background, I had painted like a sloth kind of face and flipped it upside down. And then on the top, I arranged the paint. I taped it off and then stenciled the paint, peeled the tape back off to get these little compartments and little squares, which looked like this fun little hairdo. And I took a piece of Grey's Anatomy, that book.
Yeah.
Not the show.
Yeah.
And there's like a broken bone or something.
Uh-huh.
And I just envisioned this kind of nerdy kid reading comic books with a broken leg or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt right to me. So that's where it ended. And that's what it was called.
I think that's cool.
Aesthetically, I like that one. It's a nice one.
Yeah. So what about, just a tiny abuse of power?
Abuse of power, Those two, there's that one and then there's one called Window Pane, which is a silly pun. But those two were created from like a discard pile, stuff that I accidentally made, paint that was spilled, or paper that I scrawled on, or stuff that I cut out of something else and didn't use.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took pieces of that and created those two little. They're two little pieces that right now are at home, but they're very small. And Abuse of Power is about police brutality. That's all. Because, again, I moved here, and there was, it was a lot of police brutality, but there was a couple significant cases here in Charlotte, and that just, was influential.
Right.
So that's all that is. It's just a little splatter of blood. There's a couple, businessmen with their briefcases, and police. Yes, it's kind of a simple expression of that.
Yeah. So you say you're born into your family had school teachers and skilled laborers. So you're not from an art family.
Not really. My mother can draw. My grandmother on my father's side could draw, and again, my uncle could draw.
Mm-hmm.
So there were people who were art. My grandmother played the piano, and my grandfather was like a draftsman, so there was that sort of talent. I mean, people had the skills that no one in my family ever really pursued it, though. That's all. I was the only one who did, really.
Yeah.
And now look at me. Right.
Well, what did they think when you said, "Hey, I want to be an artist"? Or...
They were fully supportive, and it's funny though. They were so supportive that I feel like they shouldn't have been.
Uh-huh.
I probably should have. If they had steered me towards a traditional college degree, say, and really laid on me for to pursue that. Maybe it would have been a safer route, but overall, everyone was always supportive of, you know, my artistic directions,
mm-hmm.
and that's great.
Yeah. I think that's really neat.
Yeah, you know, I had a good childhood, good family. No complaints there.
Yeah.
No horrid tragedy to inform my creative drive.
Yeah, you weren't like a dark artist who came from that.
Nothing like that. All the darkness and tragedy comes from within. So.
I think that's really great. And I, like I said, I love your work. And I always love hearing artists' stories because I think that makes their work so much deeper and so much I can appreciate
it a
little better.
Yeah, me too. Sure. Well, thanks for asking me questions. Never really prepare, and I don't.
Well, I didn't want you to prepare.
Right. Okay. Well, I did my best. That's all I ever do.
Cool. Yeah, these are just conversations, like as if we ran into each other on the street.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Right on.
So, no, nothing scripted or anything. So.
Cool.
So this was perfect.
Thanks. Awesome.
So awesome. Very cool. So what do you exactly like? What is your job here? What do you do?
I manage the framing department,
mm-hmm.
and I also do like restoration and then picture hanging,
mm-hmm.
and art installation,
yeah.
stuff like that.
Is that something you learned to do here, or learned to?
I've
do
been
here?
Doing this sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
since I was like 19, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was on the job,
mm-hmm.
learning.
How hard is it to learn?
It's it's not hard to learn. But I see a lot of it done improperly quite
mm-hmm.
a bit. And I'm not sure if, I think it's because the industry itself took a huge hit in 2008, I think. The huge financial collapse, I guess. All the private framing
mm-hmm.
in the United States dropped, like 2,000 businesses went under.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's a struggle for a framing place, a framing business to kind of stay afloat.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte does a good area for it because it's rapidly growing.
Yeah.
But the industry itself is kind of dominated by the larger stores, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But smaller frame shops, you can usually get better work and more interesting creative work.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll handle stuff that a big box store, let's say, wouldn't necessarily touch strictly from liability. But we have people here that have been doing it for a long time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we do art restoration, sculptural restoration, and digital restoration, and all that stuff, which is, you know, a good niche to be in.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to find
mm-hmm.
that, especially for, like, a reasonable amount of money.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, I think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Thanks.
So. Well, thanks so much for chatting with
me. You are very welcome, Brooke.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So nice to meet you, John.
You too.
Thank you. Thanks so much to John Slaney for chatting with me and to Coffee and Thompson for hosting our chat. If you'd like to see John's work, you can go to the Coffee and Thompson website, which is coffeeyandthompson.com. Thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production.